hockey fans, and welcome back to RotoWire's signature NHL Hockey Pod podcast with Statsman and AJ. Friends, I'm Paul Bruno in Toronto, Ontario, and you can follow me at Statsman22. My co-host is AJ Scholes, who's a great follow at AJScholes24, based in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, near RotoWire headquarters over in Madison. We are grateful for the support from our new sponsor at Owner's Box and look forward to working with them this season. Off the top of today's show, AJ, we have to address the shocking news out of Chicago where Kyle Beach, a former first-round draft pick of the Hawks, revealed that he was the victim of sexual misconduct by the club's deposed video coordinator from an incident in 2010. Stan Bowman, the Hawks' former GM, has already resigned over this situation, but others are now being questioned, including Joel Quenneville and Kevin Cheveldayoff, despite now holding down prominent jobs elsewhere in the NHL. There may well be more follow-up from this. We expect some, but this is such a horrible circumstance for such a young victim, and I'm sad that we have to report on such a thing when we should be all happy about the beginning of the hockey season.
Yeah, absolutely. I admit I was a little surprised that Quenneville went ahead and coached the game last night. I thought it would have been more appropriate for him to maybe take himself out of that position until he meets with Gary Bettman. Cheveldayoff is also scheduled to meet with Gary Bettman. So, yeah, I was a little surprised by that fact. And I do think it's entirely possible we'll see something else happen here. I understand their teams kind of being in holding patterns now, like let them meet with Gary Bettman before you make any sort of decision moving forward. But I do think it was an interesting choice to allow him to be on the bench. I think if I was running the Panthers there, I would have basically said like, hey man, you're not coaching tonight. It's not necessarily an admission of guilt if you don't coach. I just think we need to be sensitive to this situation and wait until you have a chance to meet with the commissioner before we put you back on the bench. That would have been my choice if I ran the team there, at least.
Yeah, and further to that, Gary Bettman is going to meet with both of these gentlemen in the coming days. And typically when you meet with somebody at the NHL level, there is going to be some follow-up there. So we're waiting with bated breath on the situation. But I've got to say, my heart goes out to this kid. Still only in his 30s, to me. He's much younger than I am, so I'll refer to him that way. He's not much younger than you, AJ, but I can't imagine this guy trying to pick up the pieces from his life after that incident where he was basically shut out of the organization. And while this video coordinator was part of the Stanley Cup celebrations, there's no more disgusting fallout than that. I would say that one guy who was the victim suffered so much, and the other guy gets to go prancing around with the Stanley Cup. I think that's awful, and justice needs to be served here in some way.
Well, and I would just add, Paul, like I think they need to start the process. It's not unprecedented, but they should etch his name out of the cup. I would, Aldrich is listed on the Stanley Cup as it stands right now. And I feel in this instance, especially given the other cases that have come up, it's no longer a, accused, it's these incidents happen. And I don't think even if there was just an accusation, I don't know that we need to consider due process when we're talking about a name on the Stanley Cup necessarily. So I think that would be the next step for the NHL is I think they need to get that name off the cup. I've seen a previous example of when that's happened. And I think that would be an appropriate step moving forward here.
I couldn't agree with you more, partner, but let's hold on and hope that this thing gets resolved to the victim's satisfaction more than anybody else at the end of the day, and wish him the very best going forward. Now we turn our attention, partner, to the fact that we're 2 weeks into the NHL schedule, and we see some strange results in the early going, particularly when you look at the standings in some of the divisions. There's some positive turns for some teams, some negative for others, and we got most of them right, I'm happy to say. So we're going to dig into each roster and explain these early trends. AJ, beginning with your look at the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, I think with Anaheim, the biggest thing has been in my opinion, you know, the play of, you know, John Gibson has been pretty solid. I mean, it's not fantastic. He's obviously had better years, better numbers, but he's 2-2-1 to start the year. Those losses coming against good teams most recently, you know, Winnipeg, Minnesota, and then Winnipeg again. So start off strong, and I think he'll bounce back here a little bit. And then also you have to point to some of the younger guys like Ricard Raquel has 2 goals, Troy Terry 2 goals, Getzlaff with a pair of assists. So they're getting production kind of throughout their lineup in terms of that. Now their spots in the standings, you know, I don't expect them to be competing in the Pacific anytime soon, but they're certainly not going to be maybe the easy out that I think we might have thought they were going to be at the start of the year.
And in Arizona, AJ, Carter Hutton's out with a lower body injury. He's expected to return in mid-November. That leaves the goaltending to Ivan Prosvetov and Karel Vemelka. That's your new goalie tandem there. If you think that's trouble, consider their center depth where you have Barrett Hayton, Johan Larsson, Travis Boyd, and Jay Beagle as numbers 1 through 4, respectively. These guys were all fourth liners somewhere else last year. Maybe a couple of them were even in Arizona. But that just tells you that there's not a lot of fantasy value that we're going to be talking about here. I mean, we even thought that maybe Jacob Chychrun should be regarded as one of the top offensive defensemen in the game. He certainly had a year like that last year and was going into that role in Arizona, but the early returns on him are not spectacular at all. No points, minus 10. You can look at the 20 shots on goal if you want in the 6 games. At least that's very good, but boy, oh boy, that's grasping at straws in the Arizona situation. Take me back to Boston and let me know what's going on with one of the Leaf rivals, AJ.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bruins here to start the year, maybe not exactly where we would have thought they were. I would describe the Atlantic as not being where we thought they were when you consider that Florida, Buffalo, and Detroit are the three playoff teams coming out of there right now. But this is probably a temporary hiccup. We both, I think, expressed some concerns about the goaltending situation here. Linus Ullmark, for his part, 2.92 save percentage. That's certainly fine. I think the bigger concern is Jeremy Swayman with a 0.885 save percentage to start the year. He's going to need to be significantly better for them moving forward if they're going to bounce back from maybe a tricky start to the year. But in terms of offensive production, it's everybody that you want to be is at the top of this list. You know, Marchand with 7 points, Pasternak with 5, Coyle with 4. Taylor Hall has 2 goals and an assist. I mean, if you want to get picky, Charlie McAvoy just 2 assists through the 5 games. So you can maybe say that's a concern. But overall, I think they look pretty good from the offensive standpoint and maybe just some minor tweaks and improvement in the goaltending mix.
And you mentioned the Buffalo Sabres. Boy, oh boy, am I taking my hat off to this crew in the early going. I can't believe they're off to such a great start. I mean, they've got the offense. You knew it was going to be falling to the likes of Victor Olofsson and maybe Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner's got 3 points in 6 games so far, AJ, scoring at a 40-point pace. That's not great considering his cap hit. But when you consider that would be better than the sum of the last 2 seasons, at least it's a step in the right direction. But the situation in the net is the one that deserves a mention here. The tandem of Craig Anderson and Dustin Tokarski was panned mercilessly in this corner by me. I'll admit that. But in the early going, Craig Anderson sitting there with a 3-1 record, a goals against of 1.76, and then Dustin Tokarski with a couple of appearances. This is a career AHL goalie. 1.41 is the goals. These are soccer goals against averages. We were talking before the show that you're taking more of a role on in Rotowire soccer presence. You've got to see goals against like this in the soccer stuff more than hockey. And I can't believe it at the moment. I would never be talking about numbers this low. It can't last, can it?
No, probably not. I wouldn't expect it to. One thing that you can also maybe not expect to last throughout the entire season, but so far so good in Carolina, is Freddie Anderson off to a 5-0 start with a 9.46 save percentage, 1.60 goals against average. Man, it's a real good thing that Toronto got rid of this guy. He's just been so terrible for the Carolina Hurricanes this
year. That's one.
I mean, you know, fortunately, Toronto's net mining has been perfect without Freddie Anderson around. This was just a great decision by Toronto. You know, I obviously a lot of the credit goes to him, but you also have to look at the rest of this group in the last week here. You've got Aho with 4 goals, 1 assist, Svechnikov, 2 goals, Teravainen, a trio of assists, and even the blue line chipping in, Jacob Slavin, 3 assists, Tony D'Angelo, 2 assists. So offense is going really well. Goaltending is been unbeatable in terms of their top guy at this point. And so it should come as no surprise that Carolina's sitting right there atop. They've played 2 fewer games than Washington. That's the only reason that they're behind them on points. They're one of the last 2 remaining undefeated clubs in the NHL, and they'll continue to ride Freddie Anderson moving forward.
Well, you talk about the goalie situation there. The goalie situation in Calgary, we know Markstrom's going to be a workhorse there, but they had a busy week and they had 4 games, and Daniel Vladar appeared in 2 of them, notching 2 victories and giving up only a total of 6 goals against. So good early returns for the backup keeper there, and they're in great shape with Markstrom. He got 2 wins, a shutout, and 1 goal against in his other start, so he's on top of his game. And I said at the beginning of the season, this guy's going to be a contender for the Vezina, in my opinion. He just seems to have all the tools. And, I mean, it was a new situation moving from Vancouver to Calgary last year. But now he's had a year under his belt in a new location. And I think he is primed to be among the top 10 busiest goalies. But I think his numbers are going to be there at the end of the day, offensive record-wise as well, in terms of wins. In terms of the offense, AJ, pardon me, I'll continue with a quick little blurb on a couple of guys that are going really strong now. Andrew Mangiapane led all shooters in the past 7 days. I mean, we're talking to you on Thursday afternoon here. So in the last 7 days, he's got 6 goals to lead all shooters. Elias Lindholm, though, has found a home in the top line at center with 5 goals and 1 helper. And his other wing, one of his wingers there, Matthew Tkachuk, has 2 goals. Johnny Gaudreau, 6 assists on the other side. So the top line there making a bid to be one of the best lines in hockey if they can continue anywhere near this pace. They're getting good support from the defense, actually, too. We thought, where's the offense going to come from the back end? And the guy that I thought would be part of it was Rasmus Anderson. He's got 2 helpers. So does Good Branson. He has 3 assists last week. Don't expect him to keep it up. I'm thinking Rasmus Anderson, though, is the real deal there.
One guy who is definitely the real deal and is showing that is Seth Jones with the Chicago Blackhawks. 4 assists in the last week, 3 of them coming with the man advantage. So he's clearly fitting exactly the role that they expected him to slide into. Unfortunately for the Blackhawks, they're winless. And I have to put nearly all of the blame on the netminding here. Marc-Andre Fleury clearly not filling the role that they were hoping he would. He's 0-4 through just 4 appearances here, a 5.75 goals against average. Kevin Lankinen, you know, hasn't been significantly better. He's 0-1-2. He's at least earned their team a couple of points there, but also a sub-900 save percentage for him as well on the year. So, you know, I don't know what they need to do, but without goaltending, it's not going to matter how good Seth Jones is. You know, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, who missed some time, and, you know, that is part of the problem here. To be fair, they have a number of guys out for COVID, Henrik Borgstrom, Juju Kahara, Patty Kane, of course. And without these guys, you know, you're stretching the depth here of this organization. A guy like Mike Hardman playing a top six role, and, you know, is not a good recipe for success for them. Although Hardman's, you know, played decently just to start the year. But yeah, COVID playing some havoc there, but still ultimately it's going to come down to the net minding.
And net minding is another story here in Columbus, AJ. Elvis Merzlikins picked up 2 wins with only 3 goals against last week. We know that he's dedicated the season to Matthias Kivlenik, who was in the mix with the goaltending trio in Columbus, but died tragically in the offseason. So this year by Merz Likens, he's vowed that he's going to do everything that he can to represent both of them. And it's a tribute to him all season long from the young netminders holding down the fort now and out playing Eunice Corpusello at the moment. We were looking for wondering where the offense was going to come on this team beyond Patrick Laine and maybe a revitalized Max Domi. Domi is out of the picture with injury situation dogging him early in the season. But Boone Jenner, the new captain there, I didn't know that he was going to chip in regularly, but he got two goals last week. I wonder if he can keep up a regular pace. Jakub Voracek, two assists. And, well, you're just adding to me on the fly here. Domi has come off the IR, you pointed out. You have better information than me at the RotoWire head office, so I'll defer to you on that score. But the fact is that the young forward hasn't delivered the goods offensively. It's still fallen to the likes of Oliver Bjorkstrand to carry the mail here. He's got 5 points under his belt last week. And I'm happy to see that Werenski on defense has been able to accept that he's now without his running mate, Seth Jones, and he picked up 3 points last week. He's going to have to be a workhorse on the back end, and I think he's going to be one of the big minute eaters around the NHL.
Another player who's a big minute eater every year is Nathan MacKinnon, plays pretty heavy minutes for a forward here, and that shows in his offensive production. One goal, four assists in their last three games here. Bit of a concern coming out of the morning skate here. Mikko Rantanen left early, unclear if that's going to impact his availability tonight, but he's got two goals in the last week and certainly would represent a big hit. They have struggled between COVID suspensions and now this potential Rantanen injury. They have struggled to keep those three guys on the ice together, and that's obviously a significant concern for them. Samuel Girard is also out due to a pretty unfortunate hit on him, and he'll be missing tonight's game. They still classify him as day-to-day, so it's possible it's not a long-term issue, and he'll be back sooner rather than later, which would be good news for Colorado. They obviously are pretty stacked on the defense, so they should be able to get by. Bowen Byram is the player who will be elevated to the number two power play unit while Girard is out of action.
AJ, last year it seemed we talked so much about the Dallas Stars and their lengthy injury list. Well, I look up that injury list today on the RotoWire team pages, and they're all at full strength here, with the exception of Bishop, who figured to be on the shelf in the nets. But they've got a bunch of net-binding options here, and that's where I'll start, with a surprised look on my face when I note that Braden Holtby has been the most impressive of the netminders. I thought he was going to be third on the totem pole, but he's started five of the seven games so far, and his numbers are pretty decent there. So it's a defensive structure that this team is predicated on. I thought they were going to score more with all hands on deck, but among the top shooters, Tyler Seguin is the only guy that's performed in the past week with a couple of goals and one assist. And then the next guys to show up anywhere on the score sheet with regularity are Heiskanen and Sutter on the blue line. Heiskanen is a guy that came out of nowhere a couple of years ago to become a real presence here. Had 4 points last week, and I think we can expect he's going to get 40 to 50 this year. And I wonder if Sutter has another year in him to be in that range. He's getting a little long in the tooth, and that's why he was expendable and Dallas picked him up. But I still think he's a guy that can take on a lot of work, and he's good at both ends, and he showed it last week with picking up a couple of helpers too.
One guy that also picked up a number of helpers last week is Lucas Raymond for the Detroit Red Wings. In addition to two assists, he also bagged a trio of goals, leading the way with 5 points last week, tied with Dylan Larkin. And look, Lucas Raymond is not a name that was on my radar to start the season. He was a fourth overall pick back in 2020. Put up really good numbers over in Sweden, but I kind of expected him to come over, start the year in the minors, do the adjustment period to the NHL. There's different rink sizes. There's all a whole mess of factors that sometimes take guys a little bit of time to adjust. Clearly not the case with him. And while he's been probably the biggest surprise of the year, I do have to, tip my cap to Thomas Greiss, 3-1-0 to start the year. Now, look, that one loss was bad. And unfortunately for you, Paul, that one loss was the first Montreal win of the season, something I know you were hoping wouldn't happen at any point during the year, but bounced back last night with a win over the Washington Capitals. So it's not like his wins have necessarily come, you know, yeah, Columbus, Vancouver, but he gets one over Washington and maybe, you know, sending a message here that they're going to be a bigger factor this season than I, at least I anticipated. You know, obviously right now they're sitting in a playoff spot in the Atlantic. Long way to go. They're just seven games in, but certainly playing above, you know, punching above their weight class, if you will.
I like that. AJ, if there's a guy who's coming into a new situation as a free agent that's performed better than Zach Hyman, I haven't seen him. He's been lights out as a great fit alongside Connor McDavid. That was the plum assignment that was dangled before him. This guy's living pretty well. He went from Austin Matthews to Connor McDavid early in his career. That's not a bad 1-2 punch, I would say. But it's the guy on the right wing that is probably the sneaky good DFS value, and that's Jesse Puljujärvi. We both spoke glowingly of the way this guy kind of remade himself after a stint in the Finnish Elite League last couple of seasons. And last year he came back overseas and he's been a nice fit among the top 6 years since then, brings size and speed and really seems to have found his game. So that's the new look first line. And that spillover is that they have a very strong looking second unit. They're not putting Dreisaitl alongside McDavid as a result. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has really benefited greatly from his work on the second unit with Dreisaitl. And the sneaky value on the right flank is Kyler Yamamoto. So that's really a credible top six over in Edmonton that I see at the moment. And behind it all, Koskinen in the Nets has been a bit of a revelation. He's performed very well in his appearances to date. He went 2-1 last week, carrying the load because Mike Smith is injured, allowing 8 goals against along the way. I mentioned Zach Hyman. How about in the past week, AJ? 5 goals. That's more than McDavid did, but McDavid had 4 assists as well. Dreisaitl 2-2, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with 6 helpers. And I mentioned Puljujärvi, there's 3 more. So I back up what I said by the fact that these guys are delivering the goods. And on the back end, Tyson Barrie doing Tyson Barrie things again with 4 points. It's still a mystery to me how this guy lost his game in Toronto in the 1 year that he was here. Last year, he found it again and had an outstanding offensive year. And it looks like he's picking up right where he left off.
He just wants to, you know, make your life miserable, Paul.
Just like you, pal.
In Florida, we are talking about this is the other undefeated team. They are 7-0 to start the year. A lot of that, look, there's no way else to put it. A lot of that is on the back of the net mining. Apparently, Sergei Bobrovsky needed a real challenge to lose his job. And he did see that happen during the postseason last year. He's got a 9.46 save percentage, 1.79 goals against average. Spencer Knight, though, for his part, even though he's playing in limited opportunities, 2-0 as well with a 2.01 goals against average. So certainly not, slacking on his side of it. And look, the other thing to point out with this Panthers team, I talked about the net mining. The goals allowed per game is 1.86. But the goals forward still sits at 4.43. So it's not like they're totally relying on the offense or on the defense, rather, to win them games. Now, again, they've played a few more games than the rest of the league, but in strictly goals for, that's 31 tallies in 7 games. And really, they seem unstoppable on both sides of the ice in terms of who's doing it, at least for the last week. Jonathan Huberdeau, 3 goals, 4 assists. Owen Tippett, 2 goals, 1 assist. Vinny Trocheck, 2 goals, 3 assists. So it's not any one guy that's, you know, specifically carrying the load for them. They've had a number of guys chipping in throughout the lineup. You know, if there's one spot that maybe you would look to specifically in the last week here, Aaron Ekblad is about it in terms of defensive production, although Gustav Forsling also has chipped in a trio of helpers. So I don't know. You got to be real picky to find a problem with Florida right now.
Absolutely. I had so many of their names among the top scorers in the past week that I just stopped taking note of them, AJ. Jonathan Huberdeau with 7 points, Trocheck with 5, Dadanoff with 2 goals, Duclair even with a couple of goals, and Forsling on the back end, a guy that I have been using a little bit in DFS, has picked up three helpers in the past week. But the one that stings for me is Mason Marchman with 4 points. This guy was a Leaf farmhand, and I loved his size and physicality, and the kid could skate, and he's showing it in Florida, picking up 4 points for them last week, and I think he's going to be a fixture on this team that's going to bother me for years. Up next, the Los Angeles Kings. This is a team that I thought was going to come out of the gate strong, and their old guard was carrying the load a lot of the way in the early going. Certainly, they'd been helped by the fact that Kopitar and Doughty put up some big numbers, but then Doughty suffered a serious knee injury, and he's going to be lost to that club for several weeks, maybe even a couple of months. And alongside him, Sean Walker, maybe their second most important defenseman, is also out for a little while on the back end. So that's a terrible blow on the blue line. And that's going to put a heavy load on Alex Edler, who responded a little bit to the responsibility by doing what he does, and that's get involved in the scoring with 2 assists last week. Well, I wonder where they'd be without Magnus Arfvedson's contribution. This guy is another guy that's looked at to bolster the offense, a key offseason signing, and he's going to get every chance to put up some big numbers. He got 2 assists last week, and more is expected of him, but there's a lot of pressure on the goalie tandem here. I wouldn't be picking either of those two guys, Quick and Peterson, anytime soon in DFS play.
In Minnesota, some more concerning news to come out of the morning. Matt Zuccarello placed on the league's COVID list. That's a big blow for them when you consider he's their leading scorer, I believe leading scorer for the year, or at least should be their leading scorer on most years. So certainly a problem there for them to be without Zuccarello, a top-line guy. In terms of replacements, at least in a temporary look here, it appears as if they're going to give Nick Bjugstad a spot in the top six. Potentially Marcus Foligno could be a factor. Kevin Fiala, of course, can move up there. But do they really want to put all their eggs in one basket? They're also going to be without Rem Pitlick. As a result, he also ended up on the COVID list here. So suddenly forward depth, a bit of a concern for the Minnesota Wild. And I really think, they're going to need some guys to step up and have some bigger roles. One of the guys that, needs to step up big time here is Kirill Kaprizov. Still without a goal this season, had 5 assists to start the year, but now he's stuck in a 3-game pointless streak. It's certainly not for a lack of trying. Over the last 4 games, he's put 3 or more shots on goal. So he's certainly getting opportunities and trying to play his way out of it, but he's going to need, especially with Zuccarello out, to step up big time.
And AJ, up next, I'm going to talk about the Montreal Canadiens, and still there with only one victory. They lost the deciding game of the 1919 Stanley Cup on the weekend against Montreal, when they lost against the expansion Seattle franchise. I'll say they were touting that game as the tiebreaker for the year that they didn't actually settle the Stanley Cup over a century ago. So Seattle has a lot to celebrate in the early going this year, and Montreal fans not so much. The goaltending has been, I would say, subpar. Jake Allen not really playing up to the level that he did last season, but the defensive structure of this team has more to do with that than anything else. I watched a few of their games, and they're very loose on the back end. They do also miss Shea Weber terribly, and for lack of a better word, they've been exposed in the early going. And I don't know what happened to Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. Neither one of them really doing much offensively. I don't think they've got 2 goals between them. Suzuki did pick up a couple of assists last week and should show some life. Sammy Niku has equaled him, though, in that department, a cast-off from a couple of different locations around the NHL. He's being asked to play third-pairing minutes here in Montreal. The best news of all that I can say is Jonathan Drouin seems to have put his off-ice troubles, some depression and anxiety concerns, a bit by the wayside, and he's off to a very good start. Picked up another 3 assists last week, and he's at the top of the Canadian scoring charts so far. Mike Hoffman, also brought in to boost that sagging offense, had 2 goals. And then another guy who was brought in to help offensively, Matthew Perreault, had 3 goals all in one game, the lone victory that they have recorded so far this season. So Montreal's a team right now. I look at them and I say, who's playing in net against them? And that's the guy that I put in my lineup more often than not in DFS play, with the lack of structure and really anything good to say about the Canadiens beyond that.
Well, I think that phrase probably applies to the New Jersey Devils to start the year, more because of injuries and lack of poor play. They've had to use Scott Wedgwood and Nico Daws this season, as Jonathan Bernier and Mackenzie Blackwood have dealt with. Mackenzie Blackwood hasn't played yet to start the year. Bernier started the first 2, both wins, solid performances, but has been out for the last 3. Now, both guys were at practice today. They had a 4-pack of goalies on the ice, which is pretty unusual. So they are trending in the right direction, but injuries have also impacted the forward group. Jack Hughes has been out for the last 3 games with a dislocated shoulder, avoiding surgery, but no clear indication yet from the team as to when he'll be back. Miles Wood also dealing with a lower body injury that has prevented him from seeing any action this year. So really it's how they've gotten past and through these injuries. So far, it's been mostly, names we're familiar with. Pavel Zacha, 3 goals this last week. Dougie Hamilton, 3 assists. Now, Igor Sharangovich has 2 assists as well. But otherwise, the names that I would have hoped, if I'm a Devils fan, the guys I would have hoped to have stepped up recently, Tomas Tatar, just 1 assist in the last 3 games. Same with Andreas Johnson. PK Subban, no points there for them. That continues to just be a disaster of a contract for New Jersey. I'm not surprised they can't get rid of it, because I don't know anybody that would want to take it on, but they will not be sad to see him walking at the end of this season. That's for sure.
And over in Nashville, they have a couple of big contracts that we've ripped them, a couple of centers there, Duchesne and Johansson, for a couple of years on this podcast, but the early returns are positive for both of these guys, AJ, and they both factored into a nice week for the Nashville club last week. 4 points each, Johansson with a pair of goals and assists. Well, Duchesne had 1 goal and 3 helpers. A diversified offense is not something we talk about very much when we talk about Nashville, and a lot of it comes from the back end. And Roman Josi, front and center there, the captain, with a big week offensively to lead this parade with 2 goals and 5 helpers. Phil Tomasino, the guy who we haven't mentioned very much, though, among the offensive mix, 2 goals and 1 helper. So look out for him going forward and see if he can continue to hold on to that kind of a role. Ditto for Thomas Novak with 3 helpers. Fourth liner Nick Cousins even got 3 points. So plenty of offense being distributed here. I also think it's important to note that Dante Fabbro, in what I've called for years a defense factory in Nashville, looks like he's finally ready to take the next step on the back end and be a credible offensive performer as well as sound defensively. He's got 3 assists in the past 7 days.
Well, one team that could really use an assist, and that's in net, is the New York Islanders. Now, Sorokin hasn't been bad to start the year. 3-2-1. .933 save percentage, but this is not a team that's built to have one guy manning the crease, and they are, fortunately, it looks like, going to get Semyon Varlamov back as soon as possibly Saturday. It'll be interesting to see if he starts right away, but he's off the injured reserve, and that's the most important thing for them, and they will hope to have him back. Look, this is a team that has to continue playing on the road. They've had 6. They've got 8 more to go before they get their home opener. So they're going to need both guys. You can't expect a guy to be starting every single night, including a back-to-back that they just had him take, Sorokin, that is. So getting Varlamov back is going to be the biggest boost for this team. And more, in my opinion, more important than who is or isn't producing on the back line is really resolving this net mining situation.
We've highlighted some new faces and new places, AJ, and on the Rangers, they have a couple of guys that are factoring into the offense that weren't there last year. Bartley Gaudreau and Sammy Blais, with 2 goals and 3 assists respectively, carrying the load offensively in the past week. And Adam Fox, who has a trophy to defend among defensemen in the NHL, 2 assists last week, and I expect him to have a big offensive year behind the quality of offense that they can roll out in New York. Mika Zibanejad, one of the more underrated players in the NHL, off to a nice start with 6 points in 7 games, has looked great. Ditto for Chris Kreider with 4 goals and 1 helper. And Artemi Panarin, a bit of a low scoring start for him, only 4 points in 7 games. I expect at the end of the year he'll be above them all. But I want to compare and contrast a couple of the second-year players. Alexei Lafreniere looks like he might be ready to take the next step in his development. He's got a couple of goals and a helper through 7 games. I like the fact that he's taken a few shots on goal. He's third on the team with 17 shots among all shooters here. But the same can't be said for Kaapo Kakko. This guy sat out a few games, AJ, and has no points in the 3 appearances that he's made with only 5 shots on goal. Is he going to be deemed a bust if he doesn't start breaking out soon? I wonder. But they're not known for patience among the fandom in New York. So he's got his work his game out before he finds himself in the doghouse with the gallery gods out there.
It does seem, just to update on that, Paul, it does seem like Kakko is going to play tonight. At least it's trending in that direction. So perhaps we'll find out. But I wholeheartedly agree with everything you're saying there. He needs to figure out his offensive game. Been handicapped, obviously, by shortened season the last 2 years. But, when you draft a guy that high, the fact that his personal best in terms of goals sits at 10 and we're entering his third season is definitely a little disappointing, and they're going to need to get him going one way or another. In Ottawa, they've got a couple guys going right now in terms of offensive production. Drake Batherson, 4 goals, 1 assist. Josh Norris, 2 goals, 1 assist, getting a pair of helpers each out of Shabbat, Zub, and Tkachuk. So they've found some offense. What they need to find is a healthy Matt Murray. He missed the start of the season due to illness, played 2 games, had an unfortunate collision with, I believe it was Kreider, Chris Kreider from the Rangers, and then has missed their most recent game. He is going to travel with the team, so appears to be heading in the right direction. But when he'll get into action remains up in the air. It looks like probably not their next two, but they have an upcoming back-to-back on Monday and Tuesday, so that could be an option for him to play in one of those.
AJ, at the beginning of the season, when we talked about the Philadelphia Flyers, we spoke about a retooled defense with a couple of veterans brought into the mix to add to their structure back there. It's working out so far, despite the fact that we also panned their goaltending tandem of Carter Hart, who had a miserable season last year, and Marty Jones, ditto in San Jose. They're together now as the goalie tandem in Philadelphia, and the early returns are fairly good. Carter Hart with a 2-1-1 record, its goals against is .274, but the save percentage is right where you want it to be, about 91.5%. And Jones, in his only start, got the victory on a 40-shot night when he stopped 37 of them. So his save percentage is 92.5 after that one tilt. So the net minding is not the issue here. And the offense seems to be producing fairly well too. And the guy that's leading that parade is Cam Atkinson, who has fit in seamlessly here and is really running things offensively. I didn't think that I would see this kind of performance out of this guy, but he's on fire and a must play in DFS more often than not. And alongside him, the usual guys that kind of are the signature pieces offensively led the parade last week with Giroux with 2 goals and a helper, Sean Couturier with 1 goal and 2 helpers, Justin Braun, a big burly defenseman, 2 assists on the back end. Not the guy that you'd think would leap off the page statistically in that way when they have other guys like Yandel in the mix and Provorov as well. Those guys will be there at the end of the season with 40-plus points apiece, I do believe. AJ, let's take a break as we normally do before we get to your favorite club. We'll be back. You're listening to Puckcast with Statsman and AJ, RotoWire's signature NHL hockey podcast.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back, but let's have a word from our main sponsor at Owner's Box. AJ, tell our listeners all about this great company.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you looking for a new way to play fantasy sports? Owner's Box offers two game types, tournament, salary cap, and head-to-head live drafts. All new players receive a $25 bonus when they deposit $10 or more on the platform. Be sure to check out Owner's Box new Super Flex salary cap game. A revolutionary new way to play fantasy football that brings a new strategic alternative to the traditional season-long formats and daily fantasy games. The Superflex salary cap format, available only on Owner's Box, removes the kicker and defensive position slots and focuses only on offensive players. Users will build their 9-player lineup while staying under the $50,000 salary cap. Large prize pools will be available throughout the season. The Superflex position, the main differentiator of the contest, gives the user the option to select an additional quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end. Ultimately, it makes the quarterback a premium position versus other fantasy formats. And don't worry, listeners, Owner's Box has NHL contests live on the site as well. Play the Owner's Box salary cap contest for free. Use promo code DREW9, that's DREW9, for a free $10 entry into the Sunday only 50K salary cap contest.
All right, partner, let's get going here. But please, one more reminder out of you. While I'm sorry to put you in double duty here, let's catch your breath for a second. Tell our listeners again how they can reach out to us during the course of the week. I've been getting some good questions and providing as quick response as I can to their DFS or season-long pools myself, and I'm sure you're getting the same traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. We encourage you to send comments or questions they may have about fantasy hockey or your teams to us on Twitter. We love interacting with all of you out there, whether it's season-long DFS questions or if you just want to chat about your team. We are happy to do that. You can reach me on Twitter at AJSchultz24, and you can reach Paul the Statsman at Statsman22. If we get any really good questions from anybody out there, we will happily show those, or share those rather, and discuss them on our upcoming pods as well. Well, Paul, I'll just take us into it and dive right back into our look around the league here with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Might as well snag my own club here to start. Look, the fact of the matter is they're doing better than anticipated to start the year when you consider that they potentially, I'll say potentially, but I don't really mean that. I would say three lock Hall of Famers are out of the lineup down the middle. You've got Sidney Crosby, Jeff Carter, and Evgeny Malkin all out for various reasons right now. How's the team supposed to overcome having three guys of those caliber? Not to mention, they've also are without Brian Russ. They're without Chris Letang. I mean, so you're talking about five of what? Maybe their top six players on the team. Obviously, I would throw Jake Guentzel in that mix as well. So really, important to factor that in, how well they've actually done. Tristan Jarry has looked more himself. Now we'll get a dose of Casey DeSmith tonight for those DFS owners out there. And the question, who's been doing the scoring without those other guys? Well, it's been Jason Zucker with two goals the last week, Drew O'Connor with two goals as well.
AJ, a team that has opened some eyes. We didn't think they would be anywhere close to Las Vegas, and right now they're not. But Seattle is certainly giving their fans something to cheer about. There was a raucous crowd both times that they defended home ice, and they lost their opener to Vancouver, but it was an exciting night, and I watched every second of it when they beat Montreal. They hammered the Canadiens. You had to wonder who was the expansion team that was that bad. And they're getting some quality leadership from Giordano on the back end. Jamie Oleksiak picked up a couple of helpers. I think their defense is quite credible. When you can add those two guys and Vince Dunn, that's three credible defensive options on the back end that will score regularly for this team. Up front, Brandon Tanev with two goals has become an early fan favorite. Ditto with Jared McCann, who both of us thought might be toiling with our respective favorite teams at some point this season. He has found his way to Seattle, and I figure he's going to be the signature offensive piece on this team in year one, and the early returns certainly underscoring that situation. So a nice story being written so far in Seattle, and I'm happy for the new fan base there.
Well, one fan base to also maybe be kind of happy for, at least at the start of the season, is the San Jose Sharks, who are 4-2-0, which puts them sitting third in the Pacific. Now, obviously, Vegas will have something to say about that mix as well. But for a team that the last couple of years has kind of been written off, it's certainly a trend that will have their fan base happy. And one of the guys that's fully responsible for that is Logan Couture with three goals and three assists. Timo Meier also three goals and two assists. Those points coming in their last four games over this previous week. The goaltending mix is an interesting one, to say the least, when you consider it's Aiden Hill and James Reimer. Hill, for his part, has three wins and just one loss in four appearances on the year. But that's with a sub-9 save percentage. So that's something to really keep an eye on. Reimer, for his part, significantly better with a 9.61 save percentage, 1-1. And I would expect him to get a few more opportunities based on those numbers.
And AJ, up next, I get to talk about the St. Louis Blues. And this is a team that is going to be without their leader for a little while. It looks like Ryan O'Reilly is on the COVID protocol list. And that's a huge blow to this team. Their number one center, their captain. on the sidelines, but it's wily veterans around him that are starting to remind me of the team they had in their Stanley Cup season not so long ago. They're carrying the flag with style right now. When you consider David Perron, 4 goals, 1 assist, Vladimir Tarasenko, 2 goals, 2 helpers, Torey Krug, and not one of the Stanley Cup guys there, but 4 assists on his resume, Braden Schenn with 2 helpers, and Rob Thomas, who actually came to light in that Stanley Cup year. He's found his way into the top 9 on a regular basis and sometimes top 6. So the old hands are carrying the load, and they're getting pretty decent goaltending from Jordan Binnington. I have to get his name in there.
The big news out of Tampa came out yesterday, kind of confirming what was suspected all along. Nikita Kucherov underwent surgery Wednesday, facing an 8 to 10 week absence. Now, they're still just calling it a lower body injury. They haven't offered more details on, you know, is it a knee, is it an ankle, what the situation there is. But at least for fantasy players out there, you've got a more definitive timeline in terms of who or when he might be back. The question then becomes, who's going to step into that top role? For a while, they had moved Steven Stamkos over to the right wing to play with Point and Killorn. That's changed the last day or two here. They've shifted Stamkos back to center. He's on what, you know, the 1B line, let's call it that. To call Steven Stamkos' line the second line is a little dismissive, in my opinion. So the 1B group of Stamkos and Palat. So Anthony Cirelli going to start out with the number 1 group, and Matthew Joseph with the 1B group here. Cirelli, for his part, I think is the bigger player to maybe target, whether it's season long or DFS, because he's also going to be on that number 1 power play. So they're going to need some guys to step up here over the next, you know, 2 to 2.5 months. They have the lineup to do so. They've gotten production out of Point, 2 goals the last week, Killorn, 4 points over the last week. So they have the guys to handle it. And I would expect that they'll get through it, but any additional injuries are suddenly going to stretch this group. I'm certainly not suggesting that Cirelli or Joseph can fully replace Nikita Kucherov. That's just not possible. But they have other, you know, spots that they can manage it, is what I'll say. But if they get any further injuries in the forward group, it's going to start to get a little dicey for them, I think.
AJ, at the beginning of the week, I was dreading the fact that my turn would come up to talk about the Maple Leafs, but victory over the lowly Chicago Blackhawks has taken me back off the brink. I'm no longer going to malign this team like I was planning to do so. I'm rather going to point ahead to some positive news. Peter Mrazek is a guy they signed in the offseason to join this club in tandem with Campbell in the Nets. And Campbell's been heroic for the club in the face of a lot of adversity in the early going. The goaltending hasn't been the issue when Jack Campbell's been in between the pipes. But Peter Mrazek's been brought in to split the load. And I think that he'll make a couple of appearances on the Leafs' upcoming 5-game homestand. They have been led out of the doldrums in the last couple of days, finally winning a game against Chicago. As I said, it's the veterans that showed the way. John Tavares, 2 goals last week. Jason Spezza, 2 goals as well. But it's the off-ice leadership that's being attributed to these two guys, and even throw Wayne Simmonds into the mix. He had 2 helpers that have kind of got the Wolves at bay for a day. And so maybe they can look ahead instead of look back and say, the worst is behind us. We got that bad stretch out of the way. That's what I'm hoping for from this team that's really underperformed so far this season.
Before the season started, we talked about the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade, and both of us, Paul, were very key on the fact that Connor Garland might actually end up being the biggest piece of this trade. Well, Tuesday's game against Minnesota was the first time this season he failed to register a point. He had a 6-game point streak going for him, and unfortunately for him, saw that come to a close there. But I would expect it won't take long for him to get back on the score sheet. He is off to a fantastic start in Vancouver. 4 of those points coming in this last week. Bo Horvat, 3 goals over that stretch. JT Miller, 3 assists. Quinn Hughes, 3 assists. So the offense is doing pretty well over that stretch. They've gotten decent play out of Thatcher Demko, 2-1 over the last week with 6 goals allowed. They are going to go with Yaroslav Halak tonight. Something to kind of keep an eye on. I'm not as high on that move as others might be. Halak, just one appearance to start the year. I think it's understandable that they're getting him in for another one. But it may not be the best time to bank on Vancouver in terms of, you know, various sports betting options you could look at, or maybe even DFS. With Yaroslav Halak, I'm a little more hesitant to bank on those guys tonight.
And AJ, when it comes to talking about Las Vegas, of course, Robin Leonard is going to be a focal point because of some of the things that you said before the season started. He's got a 2-4 record, which is not great, but I'm going to say it's not all his fault. I think that the team has floundered in front of him a little more than I expected. Some injury concerns there with, and COVID issues with the likes of Stone and Pacioretty has really limited the offense and put pressure on some of the holdovers in the rest of the top six there. So that's a big reason why they're stumbling a little bit right now. But I think you can say that Robin Leonard's doing his part so far. It's just the rest of the team that has to answer some questions here in the absence of a couple of signature players. One of those guys is Chandler Stephenson, who I thought would be lost without them both, but he's performed well offensively, well enough to be one of the club's leading scorers in the early going with 7 points under his belt already. And I think we can put to rest the fact that he has become more than a placeholder in the top six here and a credible option there to partner with William Karlsson to give them a very decent looking 1-2 punch offensively. But when you consider that Peyton Krebs and William Carrier are now pushed into top six roles, that's reason for my concern. And I mean, okay, they have some defensemen that can score on the back end. The pressure's on them to deliver, of course, at both ends of the ice. When you talk about Martinez, Pietrangelo, and Theodore, they're three of the leaders on this team, no matter which way you slice it. But in the absence of some key offensive pieces, and you can throw Alex Tuck into that mix as well, and there's some real concern in the early going in Las Vegas.
Well, I'll start the discussion of the Washington Capitals with some bad news to come out of there this morning. TJ Oshie blocked a shot last night and is now week to week, which is a significant blow for them when you consider that he had 3 goals and 1 assist in the last week. Ovechkin continues to be Ovechkin, 4 goals, 3 assists over the last week, leading the league in terms of goal scoring so far. So, definitely a offensively powered team right now. I think without Oshie in the lineup, you're going to look at a guy like Connor Sherry to maybe step in to that top six role. They could consider moving some pieces around with Lars Eller. Daniel Sprong could come into the lineup and just be injected into a second line role right away. So they are going to have some tough choices to make. You know, losing Oshie makes them a little bit, especially, you know, with Backstrom still out. Obviously, if Backstrom was in the lineup right now, this would be a slightly different decision. But I think having Oshie and Mantha on the second line, you didn't feel like this was a one-line team, right? Now suddenly Oshie's out. You know, can Anthony Mantha really carry a line with, you know, with Connor McMichael and Connor Sherry? I'm not so sure about that. And so there's some big question marks and some big holes that the Washington Capitals are going to have to fill moving forward here.
Well, the same could be said for Winnipeg, AJ. They've been without Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler for a few games now, but the club has not missed a beat. I'm shocked to report that their offense is in gear. They've averaged 5 goals a game in their last 4 starts. And the big reason why is the tandem of Kyle Connor and Nikolai Ehlers. They got 6 and 4 points respectively to carry much of the offensive load, but they're getting good support from guys that were not front and center last year. Paul Stastny was a good role player for this club. They plugged and played him all over the roster last year, and he's got a first-line role and a power play role with this club right now. He had 4 points last week, and even better than that, Pierre-Luc Dubois has shown to be much more comfortable in Winnipeg to start this season. He had a total of 5 points last week, reminding me of the strong two-way player that was in Columbus the year they eliminated my Maple Leafs in the playoffs a couple of seasons ago. On the back end, they have found another credible offensive source to go with Neil Pionk, and that's Nate Schmidt, one of the best teammates by all accounts around the NHL is what I've heard, but he's also a productive guy and a team leader here already. Five helpers on the ledger last week. And another bit of a surprise contribution, Evgeny Svechnikov has been moved into play on the right wing on the top line. We turn our attention now to the DFS portion of our show, where we take a look at the DraftKings and FanDuel lineups that AJ and I will put together. As we've done with prior weeks, AJ's looking after the DraftKings part, and I will counter with my FanDuel picks. I'm proud to say I'm 4 for 5 since I started playing this year on FanDuel, and hope to make it 5 for 6 with a lineup I'll present to you in a minute. But over to you, AJ. What do you got for tonight's game?
Well, I think the biggest advice I can give you for tonight's game, whether you like my picks, Paul picks, neither, is consider stacking heavily against the Arizona Coyotes. They currently are allowing the most goals per game at 4.83, and perhaps more concerning is their penalty kill, which is coming in at a 35.7%. No, that is not a typo. No, I did not accidentally read their power play percentage. They have a 35.7% on the penalty kill, which is atrocious. So, you know, that's my advice, is stack against Arizona, fill out the rest of your lineup however you want, whether you like our picks or not. Here's how I'm going to stack against the Coyotes. I mentioned that they've got Cirelli and Joseph playing top six roles. So I'm going to take each one of their centers and those guys, in part because they're super cheap. So I'll take Braden Point at 6,200. I'll pair him up with Anthony Cirelli at 3,500. I'll take Steven Stamkos at 7,900. That rounds out my center spot. I'll pair him up with Matthew Joseph for 2,500. So doing a high-low for both of the Tampa top lines. It's also important to note with Point, Stamkos, and Cirelli, I'm getting three of their top power play unit guys, which is another important factor when you look at this Arizona team. From there, to round out the rest of my forward complement, I have one winger spot here left. I am going to pay up for Gabriel Landeskog tonight. I think especially if Rantanen's out, it's going to be a good opportunity for him to really pair up well with MacKinnon there and offer some good value. On the back end, I'm going to start things off with Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He has just 2 points on the year, but at 5,600, you have to consider the fact that no defenseman in the league right now has more shots on goal than Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He's at 28, which puts him on the same pace for fourth, tied for fourth in the league with John Tavares of your Maple Leafs here. So that says a lot about how many pucks he's getting on net. My other defensive piece is admittedly a bit of a throwaway in Ryan McDonagh at 3,100. He's not a power play factor, but he has had some decent offense to start the year. And again, he's on Tampa Bay. He's playing Arizona. I think getting any additional shares of them that you can kind of makes sense. Unsurprisingly, my netminder tonight is Andrei Vasilevskiy. He's the most expensive guy on the board at 8,500. But, you know, if you look, for example, you know, I'm talking DraftKings here, so I'll stick with them. If you look at the DraftKings sportsbook, the Lightning are like -310 to win tonight. Clearly heavy favorites in this one. So I think using Vasilevskiy makes a lot of sense. I do have a utility spot to fill out. Paul mentioned stacking against Montreal as a really good option. I'm not going to have a stack here, but I'll try and get a piece of it with Tomas Hertl. He's their second line center, plays on the number two power play for them as well, and has been a little inconsistent to start the year. He had 2 points in the opener and then just one goal in the last five games since then. But again, just kind of playing, you know, the positional odds. He's getting power play time. He's in a top six role and playing a really weak team here. That's what I did on DraftKings, at least. Paul, were you heavy on the Bolts tonight for FanDuel?
Before I go there, I got to say, I don't think you've avoided the Pittsburgh Penguins on a DFS night ever before. So that's a first here on podcast. You heard it here, I think, unless I misspoke, AJ. But that's a first. Kudos to your team, though. I got to say, before we get into my picks, I'm impressed with the way this team has banded together in the face of so much adversity, missing their number one and number two centers. So there you go. A bit of a backhanded compliment in one way, but your team smoked mine last week, so I'm feeling a little bit of humble pie in my throat still. Notwithstanding that, I am going to target a couple of Calgary Flames, though, when I put together my team, and that was a segue that was intended. Elias Lindholm, as I said, I spoke highly of this guy. He fits in like a glove on that first line, and he's done so with great offensive production. He's averaging almost 22 points a game in FanDuel points, so he's my most expensive forward in a quick look back at this club that I crafted together earlier today. $7,500 is his price tag. I'll pair him with Elias Pettersson of the Vancouver Canucks. I expect a high-scoring affair as they are hosting the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. Suspect goaltending on the Flyers circumstance makes me feel pretty good about putting Pettersson into this situation for $6,800. I think that's a low price tag for him, but he struggled out of the gate offensively a little bit to date. I spoke also glowingly of the tandem of wingers in Winnipeg. I took the cheaper of the two named guys, Nikolai Ehlers, and plugged him in to a game against Los Angeles tonight. He's priced at $6,600. The Kings' situation is a desperate one when you consider the goaltending is really pressed due to the shortage that they have on the blue line here. There's really a lot of pressure on this team defensively, and I think Ehlers and the hot Winnipeg offense could take advantage of it tonight. I also picked Matthew Tkachuk from the Calgary first line. He's a guy that they're giving more responsibility to. He was a second liner much of last season, but he's on the front line with Lindholm. And I think they've hit the ice running again this season with more responsibility coming their way. And he needs to be a leader on this team. And I think he's accepted the role better this year than he did at times last season. He cost $6,700. I agreed with your pick on Ryan McDonagh. That's the only one that we have in common. But I viewed him more as a filler piece. I thought, who could I get a decent production up from when I don't have much more money to spend, given the other picks that I made? So he's kind of a filler, but a good one, I think, when you consider he's averaged 12 points per game in FanDuel play. That's a good return for $3,600. I'd sign for that right now. And I'll also look on a nightly basis, I said at the beginning of the season, look for who's playing Buffalo. I know the Sabres have come out of the gate like gangbusters. I don't expect it to continue. And I look for a juggernaut team to take them out more often than not. But I also think Anaheim has a shot to do the same tonight at home. The Sabres on our West Coast swing. I'll take Cam Fowler, the linchpin of this defense and one of the two power play quarterbacks. He's for $4,000, I think, a very good value tonight. I go to that Montreal game. I got to take a piece of the Sharks, don't I? And I mentioned the case for Timo Meier earlier, 5 points in the past week. I think he continues that hot streak. Plug him in for $6,400. And I round out my offense with Cam Atkinson of the Flyers. I said I expect a high-scoring game in Vancouver. Atkinson has 6 goals in 5 games so far, looking like a great fit with the Flyer offense. They've got a lot of power up front. And they've got good support from 3 guys on the back end who could be productive offensively. So that makes me think we're going to see a lot of goals. And one place where I don't expect to see a lot of goals, at least one end of the ice, is in San Jose. I'm going back to that game to find my goalie. I'm picking Aiden Hill. It was projected goal starter for the Sharks at home, costing me only $7,100. He brings a hell of a win probability alongside for that low price. So I'm pretty excited to get him in there. And I'll be watching that game while AJ's catching some Z's late tonight. Partner, that brings us to the end of our show. The second week of the season is in the books. And it was a tight show for us today. We got this in quicker than we did some of the others. And fans can look forward to something more like this going forward. We're going to try and be concise with who's hot and who's not and who's hurt. Please remember to send your questions to me, Paul Bruno, your Statsman at Statsman22. You can also follow AJ at AJShoals24. Partner, you got any final words before I wrap this thing up?
No, just, I think if there's a time I haven't used Penguins in a DFS lineup before on this show, it's just because I'd done so maybe in the like 3 previous lineups. So I don't know if it's necessarily ever been quite as intentional. I was planning on using Crosby and maybe a few others tonight, but without sitting in the lineup, I just couldn't do it. It seemed like a tough play to use them tonight.
Well, as always, we invite you to listen in to podcast to get our tips to stay out of the competition in your fantasy hockey planning and research. Don't forget to check out Owner's Box as well. You'll be glad you did. So long, everybody.